In the Mexican city of Ciudad Juarez, just south of El Paso, Texas, someone has been killing young women who work in factories. At least 86 have been murdered since 1993. Twice, authorities have made arrests and declared the case closed, but bodies keep turning up. In November, 8 more victims were found in an urban lot. Women's groups and victims' families say police either can't or won't solve the crimes. NPR's Jerry Haddon reports.
On a September Saturday in the year 2000, 19-year-old Lupita de la Rosa left her tiny working-class row house in Juarez to meet a friend. No one has seen her since. Her mother, Celia, still distraught, remembers the day perfectly.
Como a las seis, la amiga habla para preguntar por ella, a ver por qué no había ido.
At about 6 that evening, her friend called to ask why Lupita hadn't arrived. That's when we learned she'd never shown up. We thought, she's probably with other friends, and we began to call around.
De la Rosa says not even a $10,000 reward has yielded clues to her daughter's fate. She says Lupita was a studious girl who stayed out of trouble.
Cuando pasa lo de Lupita, cuando nos explicamos por qué nosotros las cuidábamos.
When this happened to Lupita, we asked ourselves why. We looked after her. She knew not to get on a bus alone or to accept rides with strangers, and that if she was going to a different place to call us to tell us. We can't explain what could have happened.
Nor can authorities. Juarez is a dangerous and sprawling factory city of over 1 million people. Its skyline is dominated by looming, mostly U.S.-owned assembly plants called maquiladoras. Hundreds of thousands of people from all over Mexico migrate here to work. Many of them are young women from the countryside. In a dusty, undeveloped lot within the city, 8 red crosses stand in memory of the latest girls found dead. Like earlier victims, investigators say they were raped, mutilated, then strangled and dumped. Victoria Carabello is spokeswoman for a local women's group called Casa Amiga. She says the victims all fit the same physical profile.
Short, they're lightly browned, dark hair to the shoulders, very thick lips, huge brown eyes. All of them have brown eyes, thin, and between the ages of 13 and 22.
When the first bodies were found in 1993, buried in the desert on the outskirts of the city, an Egyptian engineer was charged and remains in jail. But dozens more bodies turned up over the next few years. Police then locked up some local gang members. Just 2 days after this November's discovery, police once again said they'd caught the culprits, this time 2 bus drivers. But there is no physical evidence linking the men to the crimes. Just last week, a top investigator on the case resigned amid allegations of evidence tampering. So far, the case hinges on a confession that may have been extracted by torture. A police spokesman could not say where police held the men for the first 3 days after their arrests. But when the suspects were finally delivered to the state prison, the warden reported burn marks and lesions on their bodies. He was subsequently replaced. One of the suspect's attorneys, Sergio Dante, showed NPR photos of his client's wounds. He says the pictures were slipped to him by a forensics official at the jail.
Vean las quemadas que tiene en el pene. Vean estas quemadas que tiene aquí en el estómago.
Look at the burns on his genitals, he says. Look at the burns on the stomach. This is the scientific method with which the authorities conduct investigations in Chihuahua, using electric shocks up to 800 volts. The families of the suspects and the victims say an inept government desperate to look good is scapegoating the bus drivers. Those family members have been staging regular protests, like this one held recently outside the offices of the state police. Watching as the activists raise a 12-foot-tall cross in the courtyard is police spokesman Juan Ramon Carmona. He dismisses the torture charges.
Pudieron haber sido influenciados por su abogado defensor o pudieron haber sido...
They could have been influenced by their attorney or others to say they were tortured, he says, and then they self-inflicted the wounds. While they were initially being held in the prison, they did not have a constant watch by police or prison guards. As the controversial case moves forward, the young women of Juarez remain terrified. In the hills around the city live tens of thousands of factory workers in ramshackle huts fashioned from cardboard and cinder blocks and old tires. 15-year-old Erica Sandate lives here with her parents. She says she wants to work to help her family and to buy nice clothes, but she's too scared.
Yes, I'm afraid. Leaving the maquiladora, a girl could be kidnapped and raped or murdered.
That's why I'm scared to work in the factories.
Her father, Felipe, says he won't let her go into town alone. Not for a few more years, he says, until she can defend herself or the crimes are solved, whichever comes first. But state investigators must make do with scant resources. The state of Chihuahua is planning to build its first DNA lab, and promised support from federal investigators has yet to arrive. Jerry Haddon, NPR News, Ciudad Juarez, Mexico.